let's bow for the prayer as we begin, okay? Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you to thank you. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you have guided us all along. We thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is touching our lives, teaching us, Lord, what it means to be a Christian who will honor you. We pray, Lord, as we learn about prayer from the Bible, we ask that your Holy Spirit also will teach us, as you taught the disciples, how to pray. So, Lord, we commit this hour into your hands. We pray for understanding. I pray, Lord, that you help me to make it as simple as possible, that we all might learn and apply it to our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, okay? Matthew chapter 6, Matthai Fu Ying Ti, Ti Liu Zhang. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We will be learning the pattern of prayer from Matthew chapter 6. And when I actually look at the teaching of Jesus on prayer is spread out throughout the New Testament, all right, from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Okay, and of course we see the pattern of prayer in the epistles, okay, from Romans all the way to Revelation. We can actually pick out some of the ways, the patterns, okay? But today I want to talk specifically using what is commonly known in this world as the Lord's Prayer. Okay? But I want to highlight the fact that this is not the Lord's Prayer. Okay? This is not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord didn't pray this. Okay? Let's read from Matthew chapter 6, verse 9-13. Okay? I'll read verse 9, then you read verse 10 and so on. Okay? Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 10. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Verse 12. Let's read together verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Okay? Now, this is not the Lord's Prayer because Jesus says, after this manner, after this way, pray who? You. You are supposed to pray in this way, not me. You are supposed to pray in this way, okay? So it's not the Lord's Prayer, it's got the disciples' prayer. I'll show you the real Lord's Prayer, alright? Let's turn to John 17. John 17, okay, I'm doing some translation for our friend. John 17. Okay, I won't be reading through, okay? This is called the High Priestly Prayer of Jesus Christ. This is Jesus' personal prayer. And you will find the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. He prayed for three main things. He prayed for God to honor him as he's going through the crucifixion. He prayed for his own disciples. Okay, you know what did he pray for his disciples? Look at verse 9. John 17 verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And so Jesus is praying for us. Does it encourage you that Jesus is praying for us? He's praying for us. He's praying for every one of us. Okay? Wherever you go, every Christian in this world who loves Jesus, who have accepted Jesus as personal Savior, Jesus prays for the disciples specifically. Okay? What do they pray for? What does he pray for them? Look at verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from the evil. Okay, from the evil one. The Lord Jesus Christ prays for us. Sometimes we pray, oh God, I pray that you take me out of trouble. I want relief from this trouble. I want to be free from this trouble. Do you realize Jesus Christ did not pray that? The Lord Jesus did not pray for us to be removed from problems in this life. The Lord actually prays for us to be kept as we are going through the problem. That means we will be preserved as we go through the problems. You know why? Because Jesus wants us to grow. When we go through the troubles and trials, that's when we start to grow. Okay? Stresses help us to grow. If there is stress, it will help us to grow. Okay? And so, then in verse 20, Jesus not only prayed for the disciples, neither pray I for these alone, verse 20, but for them also we shall believe on me through their word. So Jesus not only prayed for the disciples, what did he pray for? Do you realize Jesus prays for us specifically 2,000 years ago? He says, I don't just pray for these disciples alone. I pray for them who will believe on me through their word. Okay? So Jesus told the word to the disciples, and the disciples' job is to tell other people, right? So Jesus prays for the disciples, and he prays also for the people who will believe on the disciples' word about Jesus. So which means our Lord Jesus Christ, the high priest, prays for all of his. And that's an encouragement, okay? And some of us who may think, well, no one prays for me. Well, Jesus does. And we should be always praying for one another, okay? So, the three, that's the introduction. Let's go straight into Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. And I want to show you, alright, some of the steps, some of the things which are elements of your prayer. I did not say these are the steps of prayer. Some people will make it very strict. These are the steps you must follow, okay? Prayer, remember, what is prayer? Let's revise. What is prayer? What is prayer? What is prayer? Prayer is everyone must wear a white robe, right? Huh? Everyone must... No. Prayer means talking with God. Prayer is just talking with God. Okay? Is there any language God don't understand? Is there any language that God doesn't... No, He understands every language. There was one boy who at 3 years old, he started to pray. You know what he said? He said, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. Then the parents pray, why you pray like that? And the boy said, I figured God is so smart, He probably put it together in sentences and He'll understand what I'm asking for. Which is true. God actually knows what we would like from Him even before we ask Him. Amen? God actually knows. Because He's God, otherwise He cannot be God. But you know why He still wants us to pray? Do you know why He still wants us to ask? Can I say this, huh? From a therapy term, the reason why, like speech therapists will want the children to talk, because the more you talk, the more improvements you make. Okay? If we don't know how to pray, and we just say, God understands and He will give, you know what God is going to say? I'm sorry. I tell you to pray. You have to learn to pray. Because the more you pray, the more you understand what it means. Okay? For those who came for the prayer retreat, it was something that was started 8 years ago when we started our mission. And over the years, I don't know about you, the prayer retreat is getting more important. It should be getting more important for us. Because Lord willing, as the church grows, we need God more than ever. We need God. It's easier to manage 8 people than to manage 40 and then 80 and then 100. Only God. We absolutely need God. So I'm glad that we need to move towards this mindset that God, without you, our life is empty. Okay? We need prayer. Okay? Now, in verse number 9, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13, these are some elements of prayer that we must have. Okay? Let's begin step by step, alright? The first one is our Father which art in heaven. Our Father implies what? It implies a relationship. It implies a relationship with God. Okay? This relationship, this personal relationship is established or started by salvation. Let me ask you a question. Does God hear the prayer of a non-believer? Does God hear the prayer of a non-believer? That's a trick question. Does God hear the prayer of a non-believer? He does, because He hears everything. But is God under any obligation to answer the prayer of a non-believer? No. Why? Because it doesn't belong to Him. Okay? And that's a very, very simple way of putting it. But you know, when we become a Christian, God is under every obligation to hear us unless we sin. If we break that relationship, we cannot break the relationship, we break the fellowship. Okay? Just like we are all friends, but sometimes I may offend you, you may offend me. Okay? All we need to get that part right, and then we can start communicating again. Okay? We must be very clear on that. The relationship is established by salvation. It is maintained by communication. Okay, what does it mean? It means we need to pray. We need to pray. And we need to read the Bible. Prayer is we talking to God. Reading the Bible is God talking to us. Okay? It is always wise to pray with the Bible open. Because as you pray, God is speaking to you. Okay? God speaks to us very clearly through the Bible. And we need to be reading the Bible. And that's communication. Okay? And it is strengthened by trust and faith. The more you read the Bible, the more you understand about God, the more you're willing, for example, is it God's will to save our loved ones? Is it God's will to save our loved ones? Yes. How do you know that? Which part of the Bible tells you? He's not willing that any should perish. But it doesn't talk about my parents say, what? He's not willing that any should perish. That involves our parents. And so the more we read, the more we understand, God loves my loved ones. God loves my family members. And so I'm going to pray that God will save them. And that's the gist of our message for the service. And it's strengthened by trust. See, God, if this is your will, then I'm going to pray. Because the Bible says if we pray according to His will, He hears us. Okay? If we pray. So, firstly, there's a personal relationship. In this, our Father which art in heaven, there must be the personal relationship. In prayer itself, that's the first part whereby we praise Him. After our Father which art in heaven, then the next line goes down to hallowed be thy name. Okay, it means holy be thy name. That's the idea of worship and praise. And the idea is, I worship you for your holiness. I praise you for your holiness. I praise you for your mercy. I praise you for who you are. You know, as Christians, in prayer, we need to learn to worship God. Many times we think of prayer means we have to always ask. Yes, I think the sad thing is we don't ask as much as we should ask. But in prayer itself, we need to learn to praise God. Okay? Which means that, you know, sometimes when you hear myself praying, and I'm sure you will pray too, and say, "Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for who you are." I always start there. You know why? Because sometimes we always thank God for the gifts that are given to us. We forget to thank who He is. Okay? So I always start off in my own prayer. "Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for who you are." He's God. Even if God doesn't give me anything, I still thank God because He's God. And He loves me. Okay? So we need to always begin in prayer. Let's turn to a few verses. Okay, 1 Chronicles 16:29. If I can have Sister Shaolin, you can turn there, Brother Desmond. You can turn to Psalm 29 and verse 2. And then Wei Tong, you turn to Psalm 96 and verse 9. Okay, when you read loud so everyone can hear. Okay. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 29. Chronicles.
Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Okay, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. You know, when we come to church, can I say this? During our prayer, when we actually sing in worship, can I challenge you? Can I just tell you? We need to sing with all our hearts. Okay? We should never be a sleepy participant in a worship service. We should never be a sleepy person, no, not worship, in the song time. We need to praise God because why He deserves, it is due to His name. You have to have this mindset that, Lord, no matter how tired I am, you are worthy of my praise. I'm going to put my tiredness aside. I don't care if I got sore throat, I go and drink a cup of water and I'll praise you because why? the glory is due to God. It belongs to Him. Okay, it actually belongs to Him. And we need to learn to really sing. We need to literally bring the house down. Okay, we need to really praise God all our heart. We need to have the heart of prayer. Do you know how, when we actually sang at the prayer retreat, it was encouraging. We sang a cappella, of course there's some vibration on that, so it does help, the echoes and all that. But it was a wonderful time of prayer. We were just singing simple songs that we know. But you know, when we sing with our heart, there's a difference, you know. Okay, can I say this? There's in the Bible a verse that says, sing unto the Lord a new song. Do you know what does sing unto the Lord a new song mean? I will demonstrate to you what it means. Literally, in the past, before God touched you, you go to the church and you sing, to God be a glory, great things we have done. But you know what's a new song? A new song is when to God be the glory, and you put yourself into that song. You know why God changed your heart? That's a new song. The words are the same, the songs are the same, but the heart is different. It's new. Does it make sense? And that's what the psalmist means. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Don't sing in the drag my heel. We need to sing to the Lord a new song. You know what? That's involved in worship. That's involved in worship. That's involved when we pray and say, Lord, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Okay, next one. Psalm 29 verse 2.
Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Okay, what does it mean to be in the beauty of holiness? Just think about we can never understand genuine holiness. You know why? Because we are sinful. But you know what? When the psalmist worship Him in the beauty of holiness. Can you imagine a place where there's absolutely no sin? A place where it's absolutely pure. This stuff for one. Everything is just right. Even the flower is in the correct place. The music is right. Everything is just right. And when you go in, it's like, have you gone into hotels? It's like, wow. And you dare not touch anything lest you spoil the... You know what? God's holiness is even greater than that. And the psalmist says, as you come in, recognize you're in the presence of a holy God, that there is nothing that is wrong there. Nothing is sinful. And in your mind, have to be focused. And the moment an evil thought comes, say, how can I even think of that? When you worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, everything is nice and pure. And where the relationship is close, and you know that there's nothing that can spoil that relationship. We need to worship the Lord that way. Okay? Worship God in the beauty of holiness. Yes, we are sinners. Yes, we have things that are wrong in our lives. But you know what the Bible still says? Come and worship Him in that beauty. Or you may have a rough week this week. Someone offended you badly. Something happened. And maybe it's at work. Something bad happened. But when you come into the Lord's presence, you can actually put that aside. Say, I'm coming to your presence, Lord. Into your presence where everything is made right. Where I can know, I can praise you knowing that you are God. And there's nothing that I cannot bring to you. Because God, you are holy, you are all righteous, and there's nothing that can even bother me. Yeah, things are bad, the bills are stacking up. Yeah, Lord, I'm sick. Yeah, there are things happening in my life, but when I come into your presence, things are made right. Now, I'm not talking about an emotional experience, you know. Many people go to Pentecostal charismatic churches, they get that feel because, oh God, you're so good. You start crying. But you know what? They go out into the world, they are the same. Then there are all kinds of problems and all that. Then come back again. Oh God, you're so good. And there was one friend of mine, his name is Caillou. Okay, I shared it before. He said one thing which was very, he was very insightful. He was involved in the Pentecostal church. But he said one thing. He said, don't come to church for a fix. You know what's a fix? You know when people are addicted to drugs, They need a fix. And unfortunately, some Christians come to church for a fix because the music gives them a high. But you know what? Still, when we come to church, we need to have the heart of worship. Okay? Genuine holiness. 96 verse 9, Psalms. Witong. Okay, as you worship the Lord, you give Him His glory, you give Him, you worship in the beauty of holiness, there must be that genuine fear. There must be a genuine fear of God. Remember, when you pray, you're coming to a God that can give you all things, can provide all things, and can crush you. Okay? We need to realize He's not our buddy. He's not our, oi, how are you, buddy? You know? He is God. And that's one thing that sometimes Christians forget. Even in their writings, they tend to put God at a level of man. God is not a level of man. He's God. How many of you will go out to now is Dr. Tony Tan? Hey, hi, Tony, how are you? Huh? How many of you will do that? No, you will stand at least at a distance. Hello, sir, how are you? You know, at least the basic courtesy, giving him due respect for his position. And by the way, God has the highest position. And how do you think we should we can say, hi, God, how are you? And Lord, you know, you call him Lord. You call him, you have a title for him. Why? Because he's God. Now, when we come in prayer, we must come as much as we are in relationship with God. It is very important for us to understand God is still God. He is still the sovereign one. He is still the one in charge of our lives. Okay? So that's the first part. We need to learn to praise and worship God in our prayer. Alright, as we go, Thy Kingdom Come. Thy Kingdom Come has to do with a request for God's kingdom to be established now. Thy Kingdom Come, literally Thy Kingdom Come. Alright, God, we want Your kingdom to be established right now. This statement is a principle of submission to the kingdom of God. Now think about this. In prayer, Jesus taught the disciples to pray, Thy Kingdom Come. He's actually also telling us as Christians, when you pray, your heart needs to be for God's kingdom, not the things of this world. God's kingdom is to come, which means that for us, when we pray, our mind ought to be, Lord, how do I live my life to bring Your kingdom in? What can we do? What does it mean to bring the kingdom in? What is the kingdom of God? Where is the kingdom of God? What does the Bible say? Where's the kingdom of God now? Sorry? What? Where's the kingdom of God? Anyone? Where is the kingdom of God? Huh? Okay, the kingdom of God is right here, but where is it? What did Jesus say? Sorry? What did Jesus say? Huh? Amongst the believers, okay. The Bible says, I can't remember the reference, but Jesus said, the kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom has to do with reigning. Someone ruling, right? So we say, Lord, we are praying for Your kingdom to come. Literally, the disciples are to pray, God, we pray that Your will be done in all the earth and in heaven. We want Your kingdom to come. We want You to rule. Okay? So, but in personal application, Jesus says the kingdom of God is in you. Because when you trust Jesus as your personal Savior, God is supposed to rule in your heart. The kingdom of God has come to you. Okay? In the past, it was a kingdom of darkness. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Okay, talk about the kingdom. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, okay? Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. The Bible says, "We have delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us or changed us into the kingdom of His dear Son." Okay, we were formerly under the kingdom of darkness. Everything was in darkness. Satan was our master. But when we become a Christian, God's kingdom comes and lives in us. Okay? And God is supposed to rule. And when we pray, we say, God, as You rule in my heart, we pray that Your kingdom will rule in this earth too. And you know what? We awfully need to pray that. You know, the problems that happen all over this world, the offenses, the things that happen, the murders. I just happened to be there. I was watching the news. How many of you know that Japan just got a new prime minister? Okay, the first week only he got problems, right? And they're demanding the resignation of the trade minister for saying something, alright? And says, saying what? What was that place again? The tsunami place? The radiation place, sorry. Fukushima, right? It says it's the valley of death or something like that. Or city of death. And the people were very angry. They demanded for his resignation. It always happens like this. We need to pray that God comes. You know one of the encouraging things? Whenever there's a disaster striking, there will be some Christian who respond and go to that place. How many of us will actually think that, there's a disaster, let's go to that place? You know, when we go there and meet someone's needs, we are literally bringing God's kingdom into this world, whereby through our ministry, through the things we do, through the things we say, through the VBS, through prayer, through a prayer retreat, you realize we are asking God, you do something in this world. And God will. But we must have the heart. When we pray, it must be, God, we want your kingdom to be established. You know, that tells me the importance, the absolute importance of the local church. Okay? Many people don't see the local church as important anymore. But in prayer itself, you know, some people may argue, Brother Johnny, that doesn't talk about local church. I know it doesn't. But you know what? It encompasses the local church. Because the local church is the only plan in the New Testament. Only plan. No other plan in the New Testament. Did you know that? If we are Bible believers, the church ought to be one of the most important institutions for us to be there and serve and do what we need to do. Why? Because there's no other institution in the New Testament other than the local church. Right? Okay? And so, when we pray, we pray for God to use us to win people, but at the same time, God, your kingdom come through the local church as well, you know? When people get saved, you know, when we pray, right? Lord, extend your kingdom. When you give your offerings to be used, Lord, for the expansion of your kingdom, so that more people can become the children of God. Basically, got more people to play with in heaven, no? As a children of God, okay? But we pray for the kingdom of God to come. That's why in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, what does Matthew 6, 33 say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. In Matthew 6, the context is, you put God's kingdom first above your own needs. You seek God's principles and righteousness first above what we think is important. But Jesus says, when you seek my kingdom, I assure you, all these things will be added to you. Whatever you need will be added to you. Okay? So we need to seek God's kingdom first. Let's turn to Colossians again, chapter 3, verse 1. What do we need to do? Colossians 3, in verse 1. As we pray. After this, I'll give you an idea, okay, of how to tie this together. Colossians 3 in verse 1, the Bible says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. It is very hard for us to pray, thy kingdom come, if your heart is on this world. It's very hard for you to pray, oh God, I want your kingdom to come, but your heart is in this world. Okay? Because if I pray, Lord, your kingdom come, it means that I need to be involved too. I need to be involved. Okay? Alright. So, let's move on. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Alright? Thy kingdom come has a principle of submission to the kingdom of God, whatever it stands for, that we want to put ourselves under. But going further, Jesus says to pray, thy will be done on earth, in earth, as it is in heaven, okay? So this statement has to do with submission to God's will in heaven as the angels submit to God. The angels obey God in everything. Agree? Everything God says in heaven, the angels do. 100%. The angels are completely at the disposal of God. You know what Jesus is saying? Thy will be done in earth in the same way it is in heaven. Lord, may we be in complete disposal to your will on planet earth as the angels are in heaven. So our prayer is, Lord, what is thy will for me today? Okay? All of us usually pack our appointments. Right? How many, you have your, now you have the smartphone, okay? I'm not so smart with this. I don't know, I want to make a comment. But when you have your diaries and all that, you probably, okay, what time you meet? Okay, then you write down. Da, da, da. You know, is God at liberty? Let me say this. If you have your whole week packed with things, can God come in and say, I need you to do this, and you are willing to drop what you have and follow what God does? Are you able to do that? If you cannot say that will be done. It will just be lip service. Do you understand what I'm saying? When Jesus teach us to pray, thy will be done, he is not playing games, you know. He's not saying like the Lord's Prayer that people recite. He's saying, when you pray, thy will be done, it means thy will be done. It involves me to be done, to do it. Lord, I'll do it. In other words, if I have a whole week full of programs, and God says, excuse me, can you just do this thing for me? On Thursday at 2 to 4 o'clock, I need to meet someone. Let's say God just tells you that. Are you willing to drop? Are you willing to take half day leave to do that? Okay, that's a principle. I know there are some things that are pretty urgent. By the way, God doesn't give you unreasonable demands. Okay? God doesn't give you unreasonable demands. There's one person who said this. Duties never conflict. Duties never conflict. Duties never conflict. Okay? Duties never conflict. We absolutely, the reason why it conflicts with us is because we have very little wisdom to manage them. But duties never conflict. If God calls you to be a Christian, He calls you to be a father, He calls you to be a mother, He calls you to be a student, your duties will never conflict. He calls you to be a church member, your duties will never conflict. You will find time to do those. Finding time to do what God wants us to do involves getting rid of time wasters, things that will not contribute to the development of God's kingdom in this world and the doing of God's will in your life. Okay, does it make sense? So when we pray, thy will be done, it implies, Lord, there's nothing in my program that I'll not be willing to give up, if it need be, to do your will in this world. Okay? So, any questions there? I'll just read Mark chapter 3, verse 35. I read there, for whosoever shall do the will of God, Jesus says, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Can I say this? Every time I read statements like this, I cannot help but to think like this. When Jesus says that, there is a lot of seriousness in his tone. Because Lord, your parents, your mom and brothers are here to see you. You know what Jesus says? Who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? Jesus, to him, there's a physical relationship. But for Jesus, the spiritual relationship is always more important. Did you know that? Okay? And so he says, well, whosoever shall do the will of God, notice not his will, the will of God, his Heavenly Father. The same is my mother. You realize that if we do the will of God together as one heart, and we have this desire, say, Lord, whatever it takes, we'll serve God. We will be one heart. But when some people say, I'll do this, but I cannot do this, and you give certain this and that, and you begin to give excuses and all that, no, we're not one heart. You know what Jesus will say? Just imagine Jesus is the one teaching here. How many of you will be immediately obedient? If Jesus says, I need four people for the mission field, we're going there in 6 months' time, I need preparation. How many of you will say, Lord, I'll go? If Jesus himself was sitting here, Huh? If Jesus was not sitting, standing here and teaching, and you look, Parolana, 6 months, I need to go. You know what immediately? Sorry, Mas, you know, I have to go. Do you realize that was what the disciples... Remember Jesus looked at Matthew and say what? Follow me. And then the Bible says he left the seat of customs and followed Jesus. And then in Matthew chapter 4:19, he went and saw Peter, James and John and said, come, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. You know what they did? The Bible says immediately they left their nets. The nets represents occupation. Because they were fishermen. And they left even their fathers to go. If Jesus were here, I said, Sir Charling and Brother Joshua, I need you in Brunei in 6 months' time. Because there's this dyads there. I don't know whether dyads there or not. These are people that I absolutely need you. I know your children are young, but don't worry, I'll take care of that. But I need you to go. Pressure, right? But you know, that's literally what Jesus means. Right? Thy will be done. You know, when we pray, can I challenge all, when we pray, Lord, thy will be done. There was one lady who prayed this, Lord, change me and send me the bill. Change me, Lord. And yes, Lord, send me the bill. You know what she means? I'm prepared to do anything, Lord, for you to change me. I'm prepared to do anything for you to change me. That is submission. Can I say maybe many times our prayers are not answered? Let's turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 3. Let's read together. Ready? James chapter 4 verse 3. The Bible says, 1, 2, go. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust. Okay, is it possible sometimes that when we ask, it is for selfish reasons? What we ask may sound good. What we ask may sound good. But what our motivation is may not be good. Okay? And so we need to ask in submission to God's will. In other words, this is something very hard for humans because we're all very proud. That we'll say, Lord, if that is what it takes to do your will, it means that I've got to surrender this, I've got to do this, I've got to surrender my selfishness, I've got to surrender this, Lord. I'm willing. Okay, that's when we pray, praying with submission. Alright, let's do the next one. Then after thy will be done, then the next one is a favorite one. Give us this day our daily bread. Okay? Now, I used to think when I was younger as a Christian, that means every day I eat bread only. I got to give us this day our daily bread. The word daily bread means, give us our daily provisions. Daily provision means not just food, but rest, but friends, but social needs, but basically, Lord, give us on the daily basis what we need. Alright, give us this day our daily bread. The word they give us has the idea of active asking. That means you actually actively ask. Okay, for God to provide us with what we need. I'll read Psalm, let's turn to Psalm 33 verse 18 and 19. Psalm 33 verse 18 and 19. Psalm 33 verse 18 and 19. Okay, I'll read, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Okay, I don't know, when I read that, that was a wonderful verse about how no matter how much lack of resources you have, God can still keep you alive. Amen. God can still give you enough. Okay, God can still give you enough to continue. Okay, my family have gone through that before. We're not gonna starve to death, amen. God will provide our needs. And God knows food and raiment is our needs. Okay? But under this, I just want to highlight one thing. Let's turn to Luke 18. Just jot it down. This is a very important principle. We learned that in prayer retreat, and I cannot overestimate or overemphasize this, then that is the principle of asking specifically. Asking specifically. In Luke chapter 18, verse 39, 43. I read, "And they which went before rebuked him." Okay, there was this guy, a blind man. He said, "Oh, Jesus of Nazareth, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Verse 38, verse 39. "And they which went before him rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much, 'Oh, son of David, have mercy on me.'" In verse 40, "And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him," Jesus asked him, "saying, 'What would thou that I should do unto thee?'" Now, can I say, I believe all my heart, Jesus asked the same question today. Jesus actually asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" What did this man say? He was very straight to the point. "Lord," basically put him, "Lord, I want to see, that I may receive my sight. Lord, I want to see. Lord, you know this need in my life. I need you to..." For you, it could be, "Lord, this anger in my life. Lord, this area in my life. Lord, I need you to change me in this area because this is my greatest need." You know, it involves two things. Number one, identifying and recognizing your needs. Someone is very blind to our own needs. We need God. "God, I'm blind. I need your help." Number two, actually putting it as a specific request to God. Specific request to God. "God, we need this. We need the song leaders. God sent us two." Amen. Otherwise, I'll be doing it all the time. Okay, I was doing it all the time for many years. "God, we need song leaders. And God sent two. Lord, we need more help in the Filipino ministry. God, Lord willing, will send a family with a preacher in it to help." And now I'm praying for other specific things. Okay, Brother Clark was sharing how when he was in Nepal, when they started to preach, but they found it very hard. They were praying specifically for evangelists to come over and help. And there was an Indian or Nepalese evangelist who joined the team. And right now, you know, every week they go out to the mountains. Because Nepal is quite mountainous. Every week they go out to the provinces and the mountains to preach from the church. And they establish missions up there. We need to pray specifically. We need to pray specifically. Okay, I want to encourage us to do that. Okay, let's go on. "Give us this day our daily bread." In this particular, it has the whole area of petition, alright? Asking God for things, not just for yourself, or specifically for yourself here. And then, moving on, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." This is very interesting because the word "forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors" means, Lord, as you actively forgive us, help us to actively and unreservedly forgive others. Okay, that's what it means. When Jesus says you need to pray forgiveness, it means as God actively forgives us and washes away all our sins, we need to actively, unreservedly forgive another person. And of course, you cannot wash away their sins. But at least you can see eye to eye with them, and no matter what they feel, there's nothing in your heart about them. Does that make sense? Okay? And by the way, it is possible. You know, for some of us who may have difficulty with that, can I give you a strategy? You know what you need to do? Just think of the person you don't like, and you pray for them continuously every day for 3 weeks. And ask God to bless them. I will ask God to do good things to them. In 3 weeks, you will find that your heart will change. Because prayer changes the heart. It does. Okay, it does. But of course, you need to surrender their heart to God first. Okay? So forgive us our debts as we actively forgive others also. Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 14. This is a wonderful verse on forgiveness. 2 Samuel 14, for what a wonderful verse on forgiveness. I heard a message one on this. The context of this is David, King David, was not happy with Absalom. Okay? And Absalom wanted to come and see David. David says no. Because of what you've done, I'm not going to see you. Finally, after much appeal, David said, okay, you can come, but you're not supposed to come to the palace. You stay in the outskirts. All right? And Absalom was very, as it were, bitter. Why my own father don't want to come and see me? Or don't allow me to come and see that. There was this lady who came and encouraged King Second Samuel. Did I say for that? Second Samuel 14. Okay. There was this lady who came and encouraged King David on that. He says, for we must needs die, and as water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Now that is just a clear statement of who we are as human beings. We are like water, when you pour in the ground, we cannot pick it up again. Okay, 2 Samuel 14:14. Neither does God respect any persons. Does God respect anyone? No. If we've done wrong against God, God will judge. But notice the rest of it. Yet, yes, God doesn't respect anyone, but yet does God devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. Do you understand what it means? Yes, God is no respecter of persons. And if he's done wrong, means he's done wrong. But God still come up with ways and means so that the banished will not be expelled from him. It simply means if someone offends me, I should deal with him. But because I want to be more like Christ, and as I pray, I want God to give me a heart that says, yes, he has offended me, but for me to be like Jesus, I will still come up with a way to reach out to that person. Can I say, Ambassador Baptist Church as a whole must learn that if we are to win 1,000 souls to Christ. Because God will not answer our prayer if we will not forgive. And I'm praying that every member will have the Spirit of Christ so much that God, yes, I'm offended, but God, I'm going to be like Christ. I'll step into the foot of Christ. I'm going to walk in His footsteps and forgive. And I'll do Your will. And tell you, Ambassador Baptist Church will be a powerful force. Why? Because unforgiveness is oftentimes the root that God cannot answer prayer. In fact, in Mark chapter 11, verse 25, let's turn to Mark 11, 25. This is so clear. Jesus commands us to do that. In Mark 11, 25, let's read together. Let's read together, ready? 1, 2, begin. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Notice the word may. You know what is the condition for God to forgive us? Do you know what's God's condition for Him to forgive us? If we forgive the other person. If we don't forgive the other person, God says, I will not forgive you too. Wow. I know when I first, you know, to preach that is so hard. But that's the Bible. That's the will of God. Because God knows. You know why God forces us to do that? Because He knows if you don't forgive, who lose? You lose. Did you know that? Because then the bitterness will grow. You get angry with people whom you shouldn't be angry with. You know, the more I look at why God, probably with age, with maturity in what the Bible says, the more I see, the reason why God gives specific commands is actually hidden under there. With wisdom, you understand why. Because if you understand unforgiveness, you understand why God is forcing us to forgive. Because unforgiveness eats us up inside. It makes us useless for the kingdom of God. And basically, the devil can just spit us out. The devil is not going to disturb us. Why? Because of the sinfulness of the unforgiveness, it is so corrupted that it actually affects people around. Remember Hebrews chapter 12. The root of bitterness springing up will defile many people. And I've seen that happen. It's so sad. Forgive, okay? And can I say this? If you don't forgive, you have sinned, God cannot forgive you. He cannot answer your prayer. It's as simple as that, okay? Forgive us our debts as we actively forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, okay? This is the prayer for strength, for guidance, and for assistance in daily life and living, okay? The idea of asking God to lead us not into temptation, it has this idea, either by removing the temptation itself, and God sometimes does that. Huh? Sometimes when we see our little children playing nearby, a durian is there, what do? You take away the durian. Okay, I've done it many times when we have maybe children's ministry and I think during the prayer retreat, there was one, the children were playing and there was one person's red car right in the middle of the whole house, okay? And I know children run around, what would happen if they can step on the car and slip and fall, right? So I can someone kind of take the car away? Firstly, God, we pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation. The way God does it sometimes is to remove the temptation itself. Okay? It has happened before, alright? I have one friend who is always watching TV, and guess what happened? His wife is always watching TV, so he prayed for the TV to spoil. And it happened. There was smoke coming out one time, and he was God does. He answers prayer, and because of that, the wife came to church. That's why the television spoiled. Okay, there was smoke coming out from the back. He was sharing with us. But okay, so maybe some of you will probably start praying that, Lord, please destroy this television set, or probably get virus or whatever. Anyway, okay, so either by removing the temptation itself when it proves too hard for us, or by reducing the force of the temptation, or by increasing our strength to resist it as what God sees most fit for His glory. Does it make sense? God, when we pray this, what God does, either He can remove the temptation, lower the strength of the temptation, or increase our strength to resist it. But all three is that God, and that's the idea of the prayer, God give us strength to deal with each decision each day. Give us strength as we live each day. Lord, give us strength. You know, we need strength in dealing with people. We need strength in dealing with our own situation. We need strength in dealing with ourselves. We need strength in doing God's will. We need strength in everything. And that's why when we pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In other words, God, I don't want to do wrong. You give me strength to do what is right. Okay? And finally, for thine is the kingdom and power and the glory forever. Once again, back to we always end off our prayer with praise. Okay? And so, in the lessons there, I just wrote down, there must be praise. These are elements that must be found inside your prayer. Number one, you begin by praise. Okay? You praise God for who He is. You make sure you have a submission to God's will and His kingdom. Everything that is important to God must come first. This is so contrary to modern day Christianity. But God says, whatever is important to me must be put first. In other words, prayer. In other words, Bible reading. In other words, loving our brethren. In other words, soul winning. In other words, what can I do for the Lord's kingdom? In other words, Lord, what is your will? And then as you pray that, and God may give you a task for a day, I want you to speak to your boss. What? But you know, submission to God's will, you know? Okay? They now see that submission, and then after that there can be after you praise God, after you submit to God, and then the petition can come. Okay, before that, we must get ourselves in a correct posture with God. Okay? And then of course there's confession. Notice these are elements, alright? But praise and submission is a very, very we must get our heart into a platform of complete submission and praise before the others can follow. Petition, confession, personal supplication, okay? Praying for yourselves. Nothing wrong with praying for yourself, but listen to this. If all you pray for is yourself, there's something wrong. If all you pray for is your family, there's something wrong. You don't pray for missionaries. You don't pray for lost souls. You don't pray for other things. You only pray, oh God, help me do well. Help me do well. Help me. There's something wrong. You know why? The prayer is very selfish. And sometimes we don't receive it. You know why? That you may consume it on your own lusts. Nothing wrong with praying for yourself to progress. But if that's all you pray for, then There must be a change. There must be a change. And that's why, can you see, submission is the first thing. You need to actually put yourself in submission to God first. And then when you pray, all the things will come together. Okay? Any questions? So these are the elements of prayer. And probably, I'll just... What you can pray at home, I hope based on this, your prayers will improve. Because otherwise, all we pray for, God, thank you for the food today. And yeah, give me a good day's rest in Jesus' name. And we just finish the whole thing. You can take this. I was just talking to someone during a prayer retreat. Do you realize there are many things you can pray for? What are some things you can pray for? Let's list down and then give everyone an idea. After you have submitted to God, after you praise God, what are things you can pray for? What are things you can pray for? Just general categories. What are the things you can pray for? Celine? You can pray for family, okay? You can pray for your family. When you pray for family, you don't say, Lord, I bless my family. Don't just pray that. Pray, Lord, I pray for dad. You know he's having a back pain. Lord, I pray for mom. You know she had a hard time in work today. Yesterday she had very bad fever. Lord, you need to do something. Then you pray for your sister. Lord, she's having exams. You know how slow she is. Okay. And then you pray for your brother. Oh, Lord, he's having a hard time doing whatever. God, I need you to intervene. Then you pray for your little sister. Because she just cut herself yesterday and it fell. Okay? Then after that? After you pray for family, what else? What else do you pray for? See? No, because I went through a little... Okay, you pray for church. Okay, you pray for pastor. Don't just pray, Lord, just bless pastor. Don't just say that. Okay? Don't just say that. Get to know me better. Then you know how to pray for me. Okay? Then pray for my wife. Okay? Pray for the children. Okay? Can I ask you to also pray for our children with regards to change in their lives? Okay, just because your children are pastor doesn't mean they're spiritual children. Just because I'm pastor doesn't mean I'm super spiritual. I need your prayer too. Like, oh God, pray you keep pastor in a straight and narrow way. Help him to make sure he do right all the time. And Lord, you know how he, whatever, you know. Pray. I'm serious. Okay. Oh yeah, the Bible says pray for those in authority so that we can have peace. Or pray that our government will if our government will be able to handle this so-called looming recession so that we can continue to pray that our governments will not be so close-minded to impose laws that will stop us from having religious freedom. Pray for Dr. Tony Tan. He's a Christian and I pray that he will use some of his Christian influence to do some things for the Christians in Singapore. Hope this is recorded. But anyway, I think, of course, I know that he would have, but you know, Bible says pray for our leaders. We need to pray for our leaders, okay? What else can you pray for? Sorry? Those who are sick, okay? Pray for the sick, okay? We have to pray for the sick, okay? What else do we need to pray for? What else do we do with the sick? We don't just pray for them, you know what the Bible says? Visit them. Hello? Visit them. Because when you're sick, how many of you have been so... sometimes we're so sick that we just need someone there. There was one time when I was in Australia, I was studying, it's like, I was sick for 3 days, I didn't come out of my house. No one knew. She said, but you know what, if someone knows, but now, because last time got no handphone, not very smart, right, last time. But now I have. So I can SMS someone and say, I'm sick, can you please pray for me, you know? Now there's no battery, so, and it was really terrible, but you know what God says, visit the sick. Visit the sick, pray for those who are sick. And can I say this? You don't just pray for healing because sometimes God, there are other things involved in sicknesses. It is something that I want us to understand. In sicknesses, when you are praying, let's say faithfully for a long time, it doesn't happen. It doesn't mean God is not answering. No. Maybe God is saying, I want you to try something else. Does that make sense? Okay? So those who are sick, pray for church, pray for family, what else? Sir? Salvation of loved ones, absolute priority. Absolute priority. You don't pray, you don't get. Okay? Pray for your loved ones. Okay? Pray for the lost souls that we're trying to reach. Okay? And name them. After you name them, you name the problems they have. Alright, for example, Lord, please. Lord, my so-and-so is a hard nut to crack because he's so involved in this for the last 80 years. Or something like that. Lord, you need to bring his thoughts unto obedience to Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Lord, I pray that his mind will change. And thank God some of our older folks are giving up their minds to Christ. Amen? And so, we need to pray specifically. Okay? And really ask God to bring down those strongholds. And God can. Okay, what else? Salvation, church, family. The needs of the ministry, okay? Lord, we need this, we need this. Lord, we pray, we need $180,000. Right now it's 178. Yeah? Okay, so we need $177,000, Lord. And you know what? It's in faith. Why? Because God, does God have $177,000? Never. And so, is it too much to ask of Him? No. If God sees that we need it, He'll give it to us. And He's starting. So we need to pray. Okay? Specific needs. Okay? What else? What else? Does that give you ideas for prayer? Do you know if you spend just 1 minute or 2 minutes on each of these, easily you spend half an hour in prayer. But Brother Johnny, I don't know what to pray for. Write it down. Okay? For Brother Robert, for example, he got six. See, one time only, six in the family, right? 2 minutes each, 12 minutes in prayer already. Huh? Okay? Someone has lesser family. Wow, good. I only have two in my family. No, pray for other people. You realize when you start praying, you just spend 30 seconds on each. And you list down your prayer life. It will just easily say, I got no time to pray now because I got so many things to pray for. My dad, my mom, my uncle, my cousin, my grandmother. And you know what? We need to include all these people. You know why? So everyone has needs. And God may be just using you to pray. You have a husband that's not walking with God. You have a children in your family. Or you have a cousin, a sister who have gone away. Well, making them items of prayer. Pray for them. Pray for them. And you'll be, but Brother Johnny, I can't do anything. Never mind, pray for them. It's interesting what God can do if you just pray. I've learned one thing in this ministry. I cannot do everything. But what I do is I pray and say, I'll tell God this. God, you do for me what I cannot do. And God does. God does, because you know why? Listen to this. Paul says what? We are co-laborers with God in the ministry. Co-laborers with God. And when we pray, we give the track. People don't respond. They can respond years later. But you know what? Because we've been faithful, God can still bless. Right? Does that give you ideas for prayer? Okay, some of the elements for your prayer. And so right now, minimum on your prayer, I'm going to take a survey in 6 months' time, alright? See whether you've increased your prayer life or not. Okay? You need to, you know, as you... Okay, but prayer is one of the hardest things for the Christian. You know why? Prayer goes against the natural man. The natural man doesn't want to pray. The natural man wants to sleep. The moment you close your eyes, you sleep, right? So next time, don't pray on your bed like this. How many of you okay? We had this wonderful experience in the prayer retreat. After we finished praying, there were some children still praying. Because it was like... Okay, any questions as we close in prayer? Okay, may God make us best a people of prayer. All of us are priests before God. Use that position. Okay? To influence your friends, your family, and use that to influence God for your families as well. Okay? Come, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you that you've taught us in your word how we need to pray. Oh Lord, you are such a good God. Father, you have loved us so much. You've given us so much. Father, we praise your holy name. We praise you for who you are. Hallowed be thy name, Lord. Father, your love for us, we know, can never change. And that's why we can love you, Lord. Father, we pray that thy kingdom will come. Father, in every area of our lives that needs to be controlled by you, we pray that you help us to submit to that. Father, we pray you provide for us all that we need, as you always have. Lord, we thank you that you provide for us even before we ask. But Lord, you teach us in this prayer that we need to ask. And so, Father, we are asking. Lord, we are asking for a job for our sisters who need that job. Lord, we are praying for, we are asking for provisions, Lord. Perhaps in some, we don't even know, maybe in one or two persons here who may have needs in their life that no one knows about. Lord, I pray specifically that you will provide that need. Lord, it could be a need to surrender certain things in our lives. Father, we pray you give us the strength to do that. Lord, we pray specifically, especially for the salvation of our loved ones. Oh God, please. Lord, please, do something that We don't even know what to do sometimes. Maybe over years we'll just kind of let it go, but God, coming back today, we want to pray that you will touch their lives once again. And God, that you will use us. Oh, lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. Grant us the strength, Father, to stand strong. Grant us the ability and your power to have a proper testimony that our loved ones might see Christ in us. Help us to resolve in our hearts not to mix with friends that will defile or corrupt our attitude or take the name of our God in vain. Give us the courage, Father, to say no when some sin is about to happen and that we will walk away. Oh Lord, deliver us from evil. Father, we pray you help us to forgive those people actively, Lord, even as you forgive us. Oh Lord, help us to have this Spirit of Christ in our lives. Father, that we will forgive because it is the right thing to do, not because we feel like it or don't feel like it. Help us to obey you because that is the right thing to do. And Father, we pray that all things will be done according to your will. And so Lord, we pray because for thine is the power and the glory and the honor forever and ever, Lord. That Father, when we leave this world, the glory of Christ will still remain in this world. And Father, we look forward to the time that Jesus will come and that He will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He will be the one who will reign over all this earth. And we look forward to that time. But Lord, in the meantime, we pray that Thy kingdom will come. Use Ambassador Baptist Church, Lord, for the furtherance of your will. We pray for the service to follow afterwards. We pray that when people come, they might understand and know that the Lord Jesus Christ is in our midst. Thank you, Lord. We pray you bless everyone. And we ask for those who are sick, those who have back pain, and those who are not around. We pray that your Spirit will be with them, guide them in a special way. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we have about 15-20 minutes before we come for the morning service.